Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Stranger Than Fiction. This is part two in the Stranger Than Fiction series. Last week was The Flying Dutchman. And Stranger Than Fiction is brought to you by author Donald Allen Kirch. He is the author of books like Reich and Manchester House. And you can follow him at donaldallenkirch.com, K-I-R-C-H.com. Stranger Than Fiction website, you should go to Facebook.com, Stranger Than Fiction Radio, and yes, they have a YouTube channel where you can go to YouTube and type in Stranger Than Fiction there also. And Donald writes the article in the magazine, in Suspense Magazine, every month called Stranger Than Fiction, so a lot of things that are going on. Tonight's episode is entitled The Strange Romance of Count Carl Tanzier von Kassel. And there's a little disclaimer that says some of the scenes may be a little graphic in nature. So if you're under the age of 10, don't listen. But if you're over the age of 10, here's Stranger Than Fiction, part two.
Forget the world that you know. You are about to enter a dimension of the bizarre, where ordinary story leaps off the page and becomes a new experience in terror, excitement, and entertainment. Hello, I am author Donald Allen Kirch, and I am welcoming you to Stranger Than Fiction.
Hello, this is author Donald Allen Kirch, and I'm welcoming you to another episode of Stranger Than Fiction. Let me address right now the members of the audience who don't have a significant other, the ones other people call lonely. Romance is a powerful, powerful emotion. Like death, it is master to our fates. It will make us do things we would never consider thinking about doing. That is the plot behind tonight's story, a story that is quite possibly one of the best examples of love gone wrong. So tonight on Stranger Than Fiction, let's talk about the horrifying story entitled Rot, The Strange Romance of Count Carl Tanzier von Kassel. When one thinks of Key West, Florida, many images come to mind. There are the swashbuckling stories of the pirates of old, of brave citizens having hurricane parties and riding out the storms, of artist colonies dedicated to helping those rare souls with vision, and of Ernest Hemingway, bleeding at his typewriter, battling the demons. Like any other small town in America, or the world for that matter, Key West has its fair share of ghosts. Still, there is one story most in this island community wished had never happened. The story of a May-December romance that took a turn to the macabre. A one-sided affair, which when told, reads like a Stephen King or Clive Barker novel, but, alas, was neither fiction nor forgotten. It is the sixth story of Dr. Count Carl Tanzler von Kassel. The Count was born on February 8th, 1877 in Dresden, Germany. To this day, no one really knows his true birth name. Some records claim that he was originally named George Carl Tanzler. There is a marriage certificate in Germany that still bears this name. His United States citizenship papers list him simply as Carl Tanzler von Kassel. From the hospital where he ended up working, there are papers signed by him under the name and title of Count. There was never any proof of von Kassel being related to any German royalty. In 1920, he married a woman by the name of Doris A. No record exists suggesting her maiden name. Together, they had two children, Asia Tanzler and Crystal Tanzler. Their youngest child would one day die of diphtheria. The marriage wasn't a happy one, and the relationship between both husband and wife was distant at best. Some blamed this estrangement on the death of Crystal. In any case, von Kassel left his wife and decided to seek adventure, traveling to both India and Australia with the intention of exploring the South Sea Islands. He became interested in electrical equipment at this time and bought property in Australia to do experiments with. Then came the First World War. Since von Kassel was a citizen of Germany and the British Empire was at war with his nation, von Kassel found himself under arrest as a hostile alien. He spent several years in a cliff-like prison called Trial Bay. He was caught several times trying to escape and had almost succeeded once building a small ship. In the last phase of the attempt, he was betrayed by a fellow prisoner seeking extra war rations. After the war, he immigrated to Holland, where he was pleased to discover that his mother was still alive and well. Taking care of her during the chaos of the German peace, he got the idea of traveling to America. With his family separated from him and no hopes back home, the United States seemed a fresh start for an ambitious man seeking his fortune. He was now a skilled radiologist, and the growing field could use his insights. Count Carl von Kassel immigrated to the United States in 1926. Arriving in America, and honestly hoping to start life anew, von Kassel reunited with his estranged wife and daughter, hoping that all could be forgotten. They arrived in Florida via Cuba and settled in Zephyr Hills. In 1927, he left his family again, taking a job at a U.S. Marine hospital in Key West under the name Carl von Kassel. Key West, at that time, was one of many establishments trying to find a cure for tuberculosis, the White Plague, as it was commonly called. TB was one of the major killers of people in the world, and at that time, once you got it, it was only a matter of time before you died. There was no cure. Von Kassel did not let such realities stop him, for he was a person of vision. Since the days of his youth in Germany, he claimed to see spirits. In particular, the ghost of a distant ancestor named Anna Constantina von Kassel, who had once showed him the face of his true love, an exotic, dark-haired woman. This vision haunted him his entire life. That was until he met Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos in 1930. On April 22nd of that year, Maria came to the Marine Hospital in Key West, a nervous young Cuban immigrant, concerned for her health. Convinced by her mother to have her constant cough looked at, Maria put her faith in the American health system to see her needs. While in her first series of examinations, she ran into Carl von Kassel. Upon first sight, von Kassel recognized Maria as the woman showed to him in his vision. By all accounts, Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos had been remembered as a beauty in the Key West society. Maria was the proud daughter of a local cigar maker. Cigar factories working in close quarters with others was a prime candidate to help acquire TB. Maria was diagnosed with the fatal sickness not too long after her first visit. Shocked, and even more heartbroken, was von Kassel. His was a love at first sight. He promised Maria that with his advanced studies in Europe and throughout the world, he would find a cure. Maria and her family believed him. After all, he was a count. October 25th, 1931, was the worst day in von Kassel's life. On that day, Maria died as a result of her tuberculosis. Despite his efforts, experiments, and theories, the timid and shy old man could not save the life of his true love. Maria's family was not wealthy enough to pay for their daughter's funeral expenses. Although the owner of a respected cigar factory, Maria's family faced financial bankruptcy due to the economic problems of the times. Von Kassel paid for everything. With permission, he later had constructed an impressive mausoleum in the Key West Cemetery, dedicated to his lost love. The man visited her grave every night. His dedication was well received by Maria's grieving family. They took him in as a member of their own and showered him with the love and respect he could never seem to find elsewhere in his life. There was more to it than grief for Von Kassel. He would later confess to a sick and dark need to see his Maria. Von Kassel believed that Maria's ghost appeared to him each night during his visits, dressed in a bride's dress. She would sing to him and promise her eternal love, and that in death she would be his life bride. Little known to Von Kassel, or ignored by him, was the fact that Maria had already had a husband at the time of her death. Although her husband had abandoned her after a tragic miscarriage, she was still someone else's wife. Obsession turned dark in April of 1933, 2 years after Maria's death. Von Kassel crept into the Key West Cemetery where Maria was buried and, using a small Red Flyer wagon, stole her body from the mausoleum. He carted the unfortunate woman's mortal remains through the city and back to his home, all the while singing to his true love. Now, Von Kassel claimed that he was only doing what Maria demanded of him. She would often beg him to take her home so that their love would become complete. The work ahead was hard, but Von Kassel was in love. The Count worked on his lover's corpse with the attention an engineer would give to his own creation. He reattached Maria's bones using copper wire and coat hangers. Adding a little humanity to the dead thing, he added a set of glass eyes to her skull. Decay was no problem. As her flesh rotted away, he would replace it with a combination of silk cloth soaked in wax and plaster of Paris. As her hair fell out, he replaced it with a wig he had fashioned from Maria's own hair, cut before her death, given to him by Maria's mother. Von Kassel was doing the singing. Often his neighbors would hear the man on his piano late at night singing old Spanish love songs. Most considered him crazy long before the horrific discovery. Some saw him as a poetic romantic, celebrating a lost and younger love. In any case, all seemed to leave him alone, allowing the madness to continue. Von Kassel was quite ingenious in keeping his illusion alive. To help keep the corpse from collapsing upon itself, he stuffed Maria's remains with scented cloth and cotton. He dressed her lovingly in stockings, jewelry, and gloves to help keep her hands intact. Never did the woman leave the oasis of their shared bed. Her bed was especially created by Von Kassel to help keep her essence as well as her body intact. A small lip was raised all around the mattress to capture any juices which would escape from Maria's body as it slowly rotted away, in the hopes that Von Kassel could create a special perfume so that the scent of her would survive. To curb the curiosity of his neighbors, Von Kassel would be seen trying to brew up strange potions and perfumes. He would apologize and state that he was doing this all in the name of science. In truth, he masked Maria's rotting with perfumes, disinfectants, and preserving agents. It was a persistent odor. In October of 1940, Maria's elder sister, Florinda, started to become suspicious. There had been curiosities which turned into concerns by the people of Key West. Every day and night, this elderly gentleman visiting a grave at odd hours. Sometimes he would not be seen leaving for days. Then, one day, it stopped. Why? Maria's sister confronted Von Kassel on his own front lawn. She heard gossip about her sister's body being taken. She wanted Von Kassel to take her to see her sister within her tomb, and she wanted it now. Von Kassel knew that he had been caught.
"That will not be necessary,"
he calmly stated, leading Maria's sister into his home.
"Maria has been healed all the while."
The scene that awaited Maria's sister was the kind expected from a Poe horror story. A huge porcelain doll glaring dead eyes out into space and surrounded by burning candles greeted the disgusted woman on the second floor of Von Kassel's humble home. Scented rags and bottles of loose cotton attacked her senses, as well as a thick smell of death. Appropriate to the moment, upon her sister hearing her own scream, Maria's corpse seemed to quiver in its juices, causing a strand of hair to detach itself from its wig. Maria almost appeared to smile. The police were called, and von Kassel was immediately arrested. Maria was taken from her wedded bed. Von Kassel went through detailed psychological treatment and was found mentally sane to stand trial. The charge? Wantonly and maliciously destroying a grave and removing a body without authorization. On October 9th, 1940, the trial was held. The case was thrown out. The statute of limitations for the crime had expired. Maria's corpse was examined by the local pathologist and put on public display at the Dean Lopez funeral home. Even in rescue, her shame continued. Over 6,900 curious citizens came to see the exhibit. Eventually, Maria was once again buried within the Key West Cemetery, but this time in an unmarked location, guaranteeing no disturbance in her rest. Only two people know where she is, and they are not telling. Von Kassel found himself dropped into the weird world of celebrity. It seemed most people felt sorry and genuinely sympathetic for what he had done. Several magazine articles were written about him at the time, and he was labeled an eccentric romantic. There was, in reality, something less than romance going on, a fact most chose to ignore. Necrophilia. In 1972, while wishing to write a book on their experiences, the two doctors who were present at the 1940 investigations revealed evidence on the case. Von Kassel had been a sick man, having installed an artificial vagina into Maria's corpse, making it possible for intercourse. One of von Kassel's constant duties was to clean out his love for their next night of adventure. Some say that although beaten, von Kassel had not been defeated. On July 3, 1952, in Zephyr Hills, Florida, the sad remains of von Kassel were discovered upon his apartment's floor. He had been dead for at least 3 weeks. No one knew of his past, and he had died under the name Carl Tanzler. Within this man's hands, at the time of his death, was a life-size doll with a porcelain death mask strapped onto it. The death mask, it is said, had belonged to Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos. Of all of life's emotions, love is the most powerful. It can make us achieve the impossible and in some cases do the horrific. It can be both a curse and a godsend. In the case of Count Carl von Kassel, it is a nightmare Key West will never forget. Well, we come to the end of another story. If you are interested in reading the magazine version of Stranger Than Fiction, you can subscribe to Suspense Magazine at www.suspensemagazine.com. If you are interested in my work, please go to my website at www.donaldallenkirch.com. That's one word, Donald Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Kirch, K-I-R-C-H, donaldallenkirch.com. I look forward to spending more time with you discussing the world of the weird. So for Stranger Than Fiction, this is Donald Allen Kirch signing off.
Again, everybody, we would like to thank Donald Allen Kirch for hosting another great episode of Stranger Than Fiction. You can check out Stranger Than Fiction every other Friday night, sometime in between 8 and 10 Pacific time. And, of course, you can listen to every show on demand right here on Blog Talk Radio / Suspense Magazine. Again, thank you, everybody, for joining us. And until next time, we wish you all farewell and then have a happy holiday season.